All right, I believe you have a Bible. If you have it, open it to the book of Exodus chapter 2. We have been talking about the life of Moses. We are learning some things from the man Moses. Don't forget what we said. It's not really Moses we are trying to be like. We are trying to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And in being like Jesus, we said that there was a period in his life that the testimony of the things that occurred therein are not recorded in the scriptures for us to see. We know very few things about his childhood. We only know the circumstance around his birth and then something that happened when he was the age of 12. Beyond that, we know very little until the time that he appeared in the wilderness and was baptized by John. And in that baptism, the Lord made a declaration, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." And we said that that is a confirmation. It's like he has been to school, he has passed all the exams, and that was his graduation. And God was saying, "I bear witness to his person, I bear witness to his character, I bear witness to his spirituality. He has become one that is equal with God in this particular dispensation. That is, if God were to come down in the likeness of flesh, that's what exactly he will be." And the Bible says, "Is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature." And we said that it wasn't like that because he was just born like that. He was like that because he was trained. The Bible says that he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. So he had to learn obedience. He was not born obedient. He had to learn obedience. Are you getting my point? So all the divine characters in his soul, they were learned. They were trained. Are you getting my point? He had the seed of God in him, but that seed had to be developed. And that's one thing people don't realize about Christianity. I said that, you know, you heard me say it before, that giving your life to Christ is being born again has two phases. There is a first phase in which you answered an altar call or you bowed your head sometime in your room or you were alone, you just contemplated, you were lying down and you said, "From now on, Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior." And we said that is the first stage of being born again. But after that, every part of your life essentially has to be renewed. And the Bible calls that being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are you getting my point? So you see, a Christian misbehaves. It doesn't mean that he's not born again in that sense. It just means that that part of him or her has not yet been trained. That part of him or her has not been developed enough to reflect the nature of God. And the duty we have as Christians is to train every part of us so that it will be really a reflection of what God is in essence. Now, we said that so Jesus Christ, he was trained like that, but the period of his training was not discussed. We don't see much of that recorded in the scriptures. So what is going on? The reason is because God had packaged other people that reflected different parts of the Christ life for us to see. So read that book of Hebrews chapter 11. You see him discuss Abraham. He discussed Isaac. He discussed Jacob. He discussed a lot of people. He went into detail about the life of Abraham, and he talked extensively about the life of Moses. What we are saying is this. Those are the same things that God tested the Lord Jesus Christ concerning. And when he had been trained in them and passed the test, the Lord said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." So we are looking at different ones of them. And the one we are looking at again now is Moses. And we have been on him for a while. That just to let us know what we are doing and where we are. So to continue that, let's just read from the book of Exodus chapter 2. Last time I explained, and very important, we read from the book of Hebrews chapter 11, that Moses did not leave Egypt because he was afraid of the wrath of Pharaoh. He was ready to die if it was necessary so that the people would be delivered. But we understood last time studying that he left because of the commandment of God. So the Bible says that by faith he left Egypt, not because he was afraid of the wrath of the king. That's from the New Living Translation. Now to continue from that point, let's read from the book of Exodus chapter 2. And I have a title for my message today, which is very unusual. So better rejoice and be glad because I have a title for my message today. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right. So I titled my message today, "When God is Silent." All right? Now, the book of Exodus chapter 2. Actually, I began to explain that thing last time. And I told the story of a man who God told to remove everything that was in his life, and then he didn't see anything afterwards. And if you're not around, it'd be good to listen to that message. All right, the book of Exodus chapter 2. Let me just read from verse 11, though I will jump here and there. Where we are going is from verse 16. Of verse 15. "Now it came about in those days," as verse 11, "when Moses had grown up, that he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labors and saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that, and when he saw there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." And you know the rest of that. Then verse 15, the Bible says, "When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. We established this. He didn't run because of fear, because he was going to be killed. The Bible says he ran because of faith. It was an obedience. All right? It was because of a word of God that came to him that he obeyed. That was why he ran. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came to draw water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. Then the Egyptians came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. When they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "Why have you come back so soon?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds. And what is more, he even drew the water for us and watered the flock." And he said to his daughters, "Where is he then? Why is it that you have left the man behind? Invite him," he said, "to have something to eat." And Moses was willing to dwell with the man. That is, he came, he ate. I'm just, you know, these are summaries of things that happened. So the man came, he ate, discussed with the family. In part of the discussion, maybe the man heard what happened to him and why he was where he was. Essentially, what God did was to prepare this man so that he will be the one to take care of Moses. So after they had discussed, Moses accepted, in verse 21, to dwell with the man, and the man gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses. Then she gave birth to a son after some time, and he named him Geshem, for he said, "I have been a sojourner in a foreign land." Now it came about in the course of those many days. Everybody say after me, "Those many days." Those many days. Say it again, "Those many days." Now listen, it could have been 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. One thing is sure, the days were many. And you know, like I always say, the Bible is actually a very small book. Because of my profession, I have books that are standardly much heavier in volume than the Bible. Yet the Bible has so many things to tell us about the history of life and the future of life. So it does not waste words. So when it says "those many days," there must be something about the days being many. And in life, you will go through an experience in which it appeared as if there are those many days. You understand what I'm saying? And like I said last time, I'm continuing from where we stopped last time. There are times you will feel stagnated, like you're not going anywhere. Those are the periods of what? Those many days. Are you getting my point? There are times you will try something, you do this and do that, you're not going forward. And those are the periods of what? Those many days. You know, one of the greatest problems in life is the fact that you were not born, the day you were born, even though you were born alone, there were other people born the same day. And they call them your mates. Wait, what did I say? Your mates. Your mates have done this. Anytime they tell you that, say, "I am a Pastor Banky disciple." And he said, "I don't have mates." Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, what happened? He was alone. So you tell them, "I don't have mates," because everybody will go through an experience of those many days. Are you getting the point? And that's what I'm talking about today, when God is silent. Because God, we have established that last time, that he spoke to Moses. That was why Moses left Egypt. Moses did not leave Egypt because Pharaoh was pursuing after him. It was because God said, "Go." And we know God says that a lot. He said that to Elijah. Elijah first go to the particular brook. He went there. He sat there. He was fed for some time. And then the brook dried up. And it wasn't because God couldn't bring water from the brook. All right? The brook dried up because God wanted Elijah to move. And then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Elijah left that place and went somewhere else. When the life of the baby Jesus was threatened, he did not run because the life was threatened. That is Joseph and Mary and the child. They left because an angel appeared and said, "Arise." I remember those days when we were children. We learned that thing, memorized the whole story. Because we had to act them in school. "Arise, take the child and the mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you." You know, as a little boy, I found something wrong with that English. "Remain there until I tell you." Tell you what? What I'm going to say is that was why they left. So God does that once in a while. And that was what happened to Moses here. The Lord spoke to him and he moved him out of Egypt. And he moved him into the wilderness and he went to Midian. Now, this is the point. After that, God didn't see anything again. and those many days passed. And Moses was watching from a distance, and those many days were passing. And the people of Israel were sitting there in comfort. The man who tried to fight for them, oh God, in life, and be careful before you start fighting for people. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, I'm serious about it. You'll see what I'm saying in a moment. Because you'll see, the people were not ready for what Moses was ready for. That's why they were telling him that you want to kill him like he killed the Egyptian. You think they are suffering. I don't know whether I follow my point. You are the one that think they are suffering. The people don't think they are suffering. You know, yesterday, I had a discussion with one of our people in the Lord, and I heard a story. And a woman was having a problem, and they called somebody who had prayed with her before and said, I'm having some issues, please, can you help me out here? And the fellow said, how much was the offering you used the last time? What was the seed you planted for this solution? And she mentioned an amount. The woman said, that one is not big enough to tie the hands of God. Quickly come and add something to it so we can hold God's hands on this matter. Now, I'm going somewhere. So, you know, you see things like that everywhere. You know, it's very common, isn't it? And the man who was with us speaking, he said that they are all over the place. They are all over the place. You know, sometimes you are angry. But there's something I keep on saying. When my wife will say something like, why is this going on? And everybody that I've discussed with, we have come to an agreement. The people love it like that. Listen to me. Don't try and deliver anybody. I like what I do. I just preach. No apologies. You understand? Look, if you send us an email and you abuse me, I don't get angry. We'll just delete the mail and continue preaching. The very thing you said we should not say, we'll be back next day. We'll see it. We will say it. The day we said on radio, I was preaching about deliverance. Oh, God, that was the time. I was very happy because before that, I was just too popular. Every time, Pastor, oh, Pastor Bang is watching. Oh, God, you guys are changing lives. Oh, blah, blah, blah. I said, now, wow. How can everybody just like it like this? Something must be out of order. No, seriously. I mean, one man, a military officer in 82 Div here, who was a practicing Muslim, he wouldn't miss Pastor Banky for anything. One guy who knew him said, I wanted to bring him to me, to come and introduce him to me. This guy is a Muslim. When is Pastor Banky coming on? With all the preaching of Jesus I'm preaching, he's there listening. Ah, I told you I preached until a man who didn't believe in God gave his life to Christ. But one day I decided to go on air and explain to people that your problem is not that of ancestral curses, and you don't need deliverance from them if you're a believer. That was when I realized that don't go near some things. People were angry. But this is the point. Did I stop doing it? No. After you don't vex, finish. The next day you tune the radio, I'll start again. The ministry of false prophets and ancestral curses. I know some people were smashing radios because I was saying things like that. I didn't care. All right? I just continued speaking the truth. But this is what I'm trying to say. Don't, listen, you have to be careful in life. You stick by what is true. Don't try and be an unnecessary champion of a cause. You know why? Because a lot of times, the people you are trying to deliver, they are not ready for it. They are not ready for it. You will teach the truth to people. They will live exactly the truth that you have told them, and they will go and start sowing seed for a breakthrough. You understand what I'm saying? That they are desiring. Not because the truth is not clear, because that's just how human beings are. They love it like that. All right? I mean, long ago I stopped that. I don't argue with people. I teach you the truth, accept it, all right? Or leave it. I also keep on learning. Are you getting me? I keep on learning. I'm always buying books. If I get a new minister, this guy, I listen to what he's saying. If he's a blessing to me, I continue to learn. So we keep learning. Meanwhile, because I'm a teacher of the gospel, I continue teaching. And then I lead people to do exactly what they want. You know, I always say jokingly, it's my wife that wants to change the world. I'm not at all like that. She's relaxing also, all right? I'm not like that at all. I tell you the truth, I relax. And that's the reason why I'm saying so. You'll see in a moment, Moses, he wanted to deliver children of Israel. They were not ready for deliverance. After he ran away into the wilderness, they were there enjoying slavery. They were not enduring it. They were enjoying it. And you'll see my reasoning. Let's finish reading that. You'll see. So many days is what I've been talking about. It came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage. What does that tell you? They were not sighing because of the bondage under Moses, during the time of Moses. I don't know whether you're following my point. It was when this Pharaoh died. I think another Pharaoh came up and he made the bondage worse than before. And we know that that's his character. How do I know? Because when Moses showed up and said, let's go and worship, they said it's because there's no work. What did he do? He worsened it again. I mean, it's just like the case of Solomon and his son. What is the name of the boy? Rehoboam. When Solomon died, things were rough in Israel. Then Rehoboam came and made them worse. I believe it's something like that that happened to the Egyptians here, the Hebrews here in Egypt. When the new Pharaoh showed up, things became tougher. That was when they cried. Moses was moving by vision. Let me say it to you again. A lot of your visions will be ahead of its time. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Moses had a vision that the people didn't understand what his problem was. God will deliver us from what? To where? Where do we want to go? You're getting the point? They were actually okay there. And I believe that's one of the reasons why God allowed the other Pharaoh to show up to, you know, tighten the screw a little bit more. That was when they cried out. That was when Moses was now needed. Now listen to this. The Bible says, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry for help came because of their bondage, rose up to God. This was after many of those days. The time Moses wanted to deliver them, they had not cried enough. Their cry hadn't reached anywhere. You are getting my point. They were not ready, neither was God ready. You are following what I'm saying? The Bible now says that, verse 24, so God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. Now, just continue. Moses was pastoring the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to Moses from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Now I'm going to stop there. I won't read beyond that. What I just want to bring out is the fact that God spoke to him once to leave Egypt after many years, those many days. After those many days, the Lord spoke to him again. In between, the Lord said nothing. That's what I want to talk about. In between, what happened? The Lord said nothing. Before I talk about that, let me just quickly explain something to people. I don't know why I just want to talk about this, but well, we are teaching, so people must keep learning. I said something earlier, that by the time Moses was eager to get something done, all right, the people were not ready for him. Actually, this is how God works. He prepares his people before the time they are needed. Did you hear what I said? I think about it. If God wants a president in Nigeria in 10 years' time, they won't give birth to him the day they are going to vote him into office. The guy has to be born at least 40 years before then. All right? For him to even qualify to be a president. So he prepares his people long before they are needed. There is something about God's vision, God's gift in the life of a man, the life of a woman. It starts getting stirred up even when it's not needed. Because thou didst form my inward parts. I will give thanks to thee because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That is, God formed your inward parts with that thing in mind, even when it wasn't needed. Listen, if you read this man's book, Malcolm Gladwell, Tipping Point. Is it Tipping Point? Any one of them. Tipping Point or what's the other one? Outliers. I think, yes, Outliers. Yeah, that's the one I actually want to talk about. It would describe for you the people that ruled different fields, all right, of human endeavor. maybe legal system in America at the time, of the business world, or computer science, you know, software engineering and all of that. And it will show you that they are all about the same age. It will show that the age of Larry Ellison, Bill Gates, Michael Dell, all right, you'll see it just between a narrow, maybe like 4 years. When one guy was 40, the oldest one will be 44. They'll be in a narrow range. You understand? Now, this is what I'm trying to make. When those young men were born, there were no computers. There was no software engineering. But I was reading the story of this man who's dead now, Apple, all right? Steve Jobs. And as a young, you know, he was adopted by his parents, all right? The condition upon which the mother gave him up to that family was that he must go to university. But then when he was in university, he didn't like the course. So he had to go and beg his parents now to please release him from the bondage that his natural mother put them into, and they agreed. Now, so he left school. Anyway, the parents agreed, and he left. And then eventually, okay, he became what he became. He discovered what he liked to do. He studied calligraphy, and then he went along the line, began to make computers, and then software engineering and all of that. Now, I'm trying to make an issue here. So you see that people generally are prepared long before the time they are needed. In fact, that's why Solomon was explaining this in Ecclesiastes. He explained the fact that time and chance happens to men, and he said God has made everything perfect in his time, that men are laboring, but actually things have a time, all right? That no matter how much a man labors, he was saying, the things that happen because of the time, not because of their labors. That is, Bill Gates is not Bill Gates that you know today because he's smart. He's Bill Gates that you know today because of the time he was born, and he was ready for the opportunity that he was created to enter into when the opportunity came. The problem with life, all right, is that your own time, follow my point, your own time. And don't forget, we discussed the reward, all right, of the Christian. We're not talking about becoming rich. We're talking about making an impact, all right, in this generation, okay? Now, your own time, before it comes, oftentimes other people's times are a distraction to you. I don't know what I hear what I said. That's the typical thing. That's the typical thing. So you hear now that people who are earning money now, maybe people who are doing software engineering as an example. So every young man, once he's about to enter university, what makes money now? What makes money now? He doesn't like software engineering. Actually, he loves agriculture. But you follow? The thing does is not producing. You understand what I'm saying? So he goes, reads hard, tries everything to become a software engineer. Not because it's inside his soul, but because that's what's making money. And listen to me, most people in life, that's how they miss it. What is the next thing that is making money? You hear that, petroleum engineers are very well paid. You don't like anything about engineering. You understand? You don't, especially petrol safe. You don't hate the very smell of the thing. All right? But no, that is where the issue is. So you are not prepared for your own time. So when it comes, it meets you, let me use the word, in a useless position. Because you must be prepared for your time before that time shows up. You know, one brother sent me a mail today. I listened to one of our messages. He said something which, it was striking. I read it, actually, before I started coming for Bible study. I just picked my phone and I decided to just check one of the mailboxes we have. And I saw his mail, personal mail, all right? A brother that has known me for more than 20 years, all right? So he said something that he was very blessed by one of those messages we posted online and we circulated in our mailing group. And that he was particularly happy that I still sound the way I used to sound those days. And that I have not learned the method of making the church happy. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. That I have not learned the method of exciting the congregation. He said he was particularly happy. Now, what happens to most people is that as preachers, after a while, your method doesn't sell. See, a lot of messages people preach, the truth is that they don't believe it. It sells. There's a message that's very common now, and I will help you and tell you the truth about it. When people start analyzing your heredity for you, if your great-grandfather was a slave trader, you are likely to have a broken home. So you have to prepare ahead of time so that, you understand my point? And then, is that telling that there's a pattern in your family? That story, now if you see, it's a very wrong doctrine. Most of the people that preach it don't believe it. But it moves every congregation. At the end of it, people get up to pray. At the end of it, people get up to sow seeds to break the covenants over their heads. There are no covenants over the head of any Christian. Are you getting my point? The only covenant over your head that's spoiling things for you is a covenant of ignorance. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, sir. He said, you have spirit husband. Yeah, are you saying, you know, those things, they occur. Do you get my point? But the moment you give your life to Christ, you are divorced. Did you hear what I said? If you are ministering to unbelievers, please preach those gospels. Because actually, that is why they need Jesus Christ. Generational curses, yes. That is why they need Jesus. Spirit girlfriend is the worries. Is the reason why the fellow needs Jesus Christ. But once the fellow has come into Christ, the only union he has with the evil spirits in the spiritual realm is the union of ignorance. Are you getting my point? Deliverance comes by the entrance of the word of God. Listen, I was thinking about it earlier today, or during the night, I was meditating. I think I was reading something online or something. That was what led to it, all right? If somebody has been in the occult, as an example, and he has given his life over to Satan, you know, people do it. You know, something led to it. I've seen people who, they wear wedding bands. You know, actually, I saw a woman. So I was telling somebody that woman is married. She said, no, she's not. I said, but she's wearing engagement ring, and we know the way women combine the thing. He said, she's not married. I said, what are you talking about? I said, she's in this particular group, and that's how they are married to Jesus and Holy Spirit or something like that. And I said, well, I understand. I've seen the men wear the rings, all right? So I was not thinking during the night that, wait, if such a person, because these are covenants, all right? People enter into covenants and they are very strong. Those covenants are tight. I was like, okay, what if somebody gives his or her life to Christ and was in that kind of covenant? What happens? I was just thinking about it. I realized something. Is the covenant broken? No, it's there. Except that the person they made it with is dead. I don't know what I heard I said. That is, your old person dies when you give your life to Christ. So the evil spirit that joined himself to you in covenant, he can still hold the old man. And that is why you fall under their power if you start walking like a normal man. Breaking, you know, deliverance, I break that covenant, is unnecessary really. I pray you are getting what I'm saying. Because your life now is hid with Christ in God. The old man has been crucified. You understand? To the cross. As long as you depart from the old man and you are walking in the newness of life, it doesn't make any difference. The covenant stays. You know what I'm saying? It stays where it was. It stays under the power of the old life. And that's why I tell Christians, you must be careful. These ancestral generational things, they are not broken by these prayers in church. Because I have been to many meetings where the same set of people by different preachers are having those covenants broken. You break them today, another preacher shows up next week and he tells you that, maybe there has been no rich man in your family. Of course, between 3 months ago and today, how many rich men will grow? So the analysis is always true. So if I show up before you today and I say, no university graduate has ever come, check it. None of your great grandfathers were university graduates. There were no universities in Nigeria at that time. All right? Your grandfather, none? that was a bit unlikely. Then your father, too. Okay, it's becoming a problem now. You understand? Your cousins, Yegbeliu. My uncles, tonight it is over. Very nice. If you want it broken, break your head. You do it. Break your leg. You do it. Do whatever. You pray. 1 hour prayer. It's gone. Sow a seed to tie it. You sow the seed, you are tied. Then you forget. Usually you will forget. After 3 months, you go somewhere else. Another person starts. He analyzes it for you again. You have forgotten that it was broken 3 months ago. Then you go over it again because in the last 3 months, your great-grandfather has not woken up to go to university. Your grandfather has not woken up to go to university. Your father can't do it anymore. He is old now. You understand? And your cousins are settling different things. But you don't realize that that was the same story you were told 3 months ago. The truth, you want to hear it again, is that that prayer doesn't break it. What broke it is the blood of Jesus. How you tied with it was by giving your life to Christ and forsaking the old man, which is under the curse, is under the power of the evil one, is there. Do you get my point? What is liberating you now is the entrance of the word of God. That is what brings life to your soul. And what is light? It shows you what you can become. Walk before me and be perfect. That's what God is saying. As for the covenant I held your ancestors, it's irrelevant now. So, look, I want to tell Christians. The problem is that Christians, they love, you know, that's what I call the exercise of the human soul. It's very exciting. You know, maybe they tell you you're overweight, you're fat. Then you jog for 1 week. Every time you're going out, they say, ah, my legs. You know, you're feeling very happy. But you won't lose weight in 1 week. Oh. Are you getting my point? But human beings love it. It is painful, you know. When they say that today the problem will be over, then you stay up all night. In the morning, you feel, your soul feels like, I deserve the freedom. Listen to me. That's why men love bondage. Now, you know, I went to all of that just to explain something. Let me quickly summarize it. This is the point. Real deliverance, all right, is a continuous process. There's an instantaneous deliverance when you give your life to Christ. But the experience of it, all right, it shows up in your life gradually. God changes the way you think. Because lack of vision is number one way the devil used to keep people down. That is, in my opinion, one of the most important messages I've preached in recent times is to explain what the true reward of the Christian is. Because when people have this reward, my own personal give me more money reward mentality, the nation never becomes great. Are you getting my point? Now, when people have a different vision, once you have a new vision like that, God's spirit inside you, all right, is now set free to make you become something bigger than you ever dreamed you could be. That's why you hear it. Go and read the scriptures very well. When they sent it to John the Baptist, when John the Baptist sent to Jesus, and Jesus gave a reply back to him, he said, go and tell John what both see and hear. All right? The blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. He said all of that. He said, but the poor, they don't become rich. They have the gospel preached to them. That was a sign of breakthrough. That they can now experience the gospel. That God cannot let them see that I don't have to die like this. I can go somewhere different. That was their own breakthrough. Jesus was not doing miracles of money. So once he become rich tomorrow. No. You are poor. Come and hear the gospel. He said the poor have the gospel preached to them. What that means is that if they attend to that word, their generations after them will not know poverty. Now, I know I went sideways a bit. Just let me explain something. Now, talking about people getting ready for their time, all right? That's why I went into that. Now, a lot of preachers, some people who preach some funny doctrines today, I know their history, and I know they know better than this. There are people you know that, look, listen, we're all brought up on the word of faith. This thing you are preaching now cannot be true. You know it can't be true. Because if it is true, every other thing is a lie. And those things, you cannot tell me that you think they are lies. But why do they preach them? It's simple. It draws the crowd. I went to minister the other day. You know, at a particular denomination, they had a major program. And I was talking to one of the people. This was like my host, and we're discussing. And he said something. I had to tell him that, look, you guys don't do that. He said that, the person who started this program, the teaching meetings used to be twice a day, but we reduce it to once a day. Now in the evening, we bring men like this because they draw the crowd. We found out that, listen to this, this kind of teaching, where people like you, they teach, it doesn't draw crowd. And I was being honest with this course, and I said, look, you are making a great mistake. This thing will eventually die. And then when you hear the crowd drawing message, it's not the simple gospel of Jesus. It is all the witches that are chasing you. Tonight, they are going to die. You know, Africans will fill that place. Go and preach that message in Europe. Nobody will come. But when you find Africans, you understand? They will gather. Now, please, try and interpret this in the proper, righteous, what they call it, way. The time that people like those preachers who abandoned the truth that we were raised up on, the time they will be needed, they will no longer be useful.
hear ye the word of the Lord. The time is about to come that in Christianity in Nigeria, if you are not grounded and solid in the truth of God, your church will be empty within a year. You will want to kill evil spirits. Nobody will come to have them killed. You will say, all my enemies die. They said they are all dead, yet our lives are not changed. Yeah, people will tell you. Not listen, you know why? Because people are praying that thing into existence. And people that God raised up, that when that time will come, you must be there to feed people. He said the mouth of the priest should hold knowledge. People should come to him and gain understanding. But men have sold it because of money. That time will come, they won't be useful. You know the point I'm making? Moses, he was raised up to be something. The time he was stirred up in his soul, he was not popular. The people he was supposed to deliver, they didn't want to hear him. Very important. Because the time this guy was saying, we no go agree, we no go agree, the Israelites were saying, what is wrong with this boy? For 9 they'll say, man, Moses was around our yards today. Man, the guy just causing problems. These are the people that he was trying to deliver, and they're discussing him. This boy just causing problems. Have we come to him to complain? That's when God called him and said, boy, come. Before you scatter everything, disappear first. Go and wait. A time will come, these people will not be able to sleep. They will be crying for deliverance. I'll call you back that time. What have I tried to say here? Whatever you were born with, whatever you were born to be, all right? Don't lose it. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Be careful. Like I say all the time, I was a young boy and I saw Papi Lulu, for those of us from the West, Palue. At least you remember Village Headmaster, New Masquerade. All those people, they were acting and acting and acting. They did not make money. Life is not about making money. I hope you hear what I said. Life is not about making money. All right? But now, every little boy that knows how to say two lines without missing his words, he becomes a millionaire. Now everybody wants to be an actor. Then a lot of people, that their own destiny, the time of shining, the time they will be able to affect the lives of people, is in about 20 years' time. Now they have gone into acting. When that time comes, they won't be found. You are getting the point I'm making. Listen, we must be careful that we don't throw away the gift that God placed in us just because we were born before. And that's the way it is. You will be born before the time you are needed. Nobody is going to give you life at the time you are needed. You will have been raised literally for decades before the time you are needed. Another point I should make is, sometimes with those of us who are analyzing business, we tell lies. We sit down and analyze the life of Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, as if the young man is intelligent. The guy is an average American. Don't be deceived. Let's leave that. We're talking to Christians. Now, because we're talking to Christians, let me use other examples. And this is the one I like to use all the time, especially for pastors. When I was a young Christian on campus those days, we thought there was a trick to growing a church of 1 million people, because that was what young Icho did. Let me say it to you again. It's a lie. Some people won't like what I want to say, but I'll say it to you. Young Icho cannot do that in Nigeria. Some people won't believe it. They'll say, I don't have faith. But I'll say it to those of you who bother to think about what I'm saying. He can't. God is not even counting his multitude. He's counting his faithfulness. Let me explain something to you. A typical, normal Pentecostal church in South Korea has 100,000 members. Either they are all good pastors in South Korea, but there's something about them that's different. I heard this story, I don't know if that's his brother or cousin. Young Icho's relative, one guy, all right, who was a pastor, maybe under him, and went and started another church. His membership, as a mother, maybe like 15 years ago, was 100,000 people. Large number is their normal thing there. Why is it like that? Listen, I don't know. It could be a Korean culture. Do you understand? Everybody has his culture. Let me give you an example. I told you this before. When I was in university, all right, I went to university, the school, University of Benin. And, I mean, that was when
I grew up inside Western Nigeria, you understand? Apart from the traders who came to town, I didn't have friends who were Igbos, and those traders were not my mates, all right? When I went to University of Benin was when I first mixed with people who were from the East, all right? So that at the end of the day, if you name my best friends in school, my best man is an Igbo man. If I offend my wife today, the person he will call is an Igbo man. You understand what I'm saying? So that's how I ended in university. I started hearing words like village. Now you say, you never hear village before. Somebody said, I go village. Where I come from, people don't go to village. I don't know how to explain it more than that. People don't go to village. Nobody comes from villages. They come from towns. You know why? It's a culture. Later when I came to town, my friend, the one I was mentioning earlier, his wife is an architect. He was writing one of the books they read in the school that a man said that in Nigeria, the culture of urbanization started from the West. There, they have a culture of urbanization. They don't live in villages the way we live in villages in the East here. Traditionally, that's why from time, you see the traditional rulers have always been big men. You hear of Alaafin of Oyo, Oni of Ifo, Olowo of Owo, Deji of Akure, you know? Because they have always had very large towns. Why? It's just a culture. Not as if they are better people or inferior people. It's just their culture. They always congregated and then from there traveled to their farms. So they had farmsteads where they went to go and farm during the week. I think those days when I will go, maybe my father and I will go and they say, I want to go and see somebody. They say, ask her, they said the person went to the farm. And I'll be hearing that someone went to the farm and it's 9 p.m. So I'll be thinking like, do they farm at night? It was when I grew up, I understood. He went to the farm on Monday. He's not coming back till Saturday. Do you understand the point? But he has a house in town. Maybe he's a cocoa farmer, he's a big farmer. He has a house in town. That's just the culture. So when I came over here, when I went to the University of Benin, so my friends would tell me that, I said, must all of you come from villages? Do you understand? It was when I finally first, after I graduated, went to go and visit my friend, the one that was my best man. It was around here about 2 weeks ago. Went to go and visit him in Umahia. So he now left Umahia and then went to go and see his father in the village. Was when I finally understood. Because where I come from, a village is a village. Here, a village can have a mansion. I actually went to his father's house and saw the big house inside the village. I said, okay, no wonder these boys all actually come from villages. Just a different culture. And of course, when I finally started living in Enugu, they said, we are going for either wedding or burial. They said, it is just down that place. I'm not full anymore. When you reach that place, when you get off the main road, your journey begins. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now, I just want to explain something here. A different what? Culture. Let's go back to what I was trying to explain. So maybe South Koreans have a different culture. Maybe. It may not be because they have more Christians. It may be. Not what I'm saying. May. I'm just trying to give you something, all right? A possible explanation. But another thing is that, go and read the story of Yonggi Cho well. He did not convert those people. They were assemblies of God. People have been working there for decades before he showed up. Other men labored. But you are entering into the harvest. You are getting what I'm going to explain. You know why I'm saying all of this? So that you don't look at yourself as an osabi. Some people look at the young people in Nigeria, you are not serious. Mark Zuckerberg at the age of 20, how old is he now? He's a billionaire. You mean I'm not moved. One thing I'm sure is that he can't write a book titled Great Faith Can Be Yours. Do you follow the point I'm making? And let me say this again. A generation is coming, and that now is, I believe, in Nigeria, all right? When a typical sensible businessman will be making a turnover of $1 billion in a year, and it's nothing strange. He won't come and tell me, Pastor, do you know last year we did $1 billion? I'm like, you did $1 billion. Hey, Olayinka, come. How much did you do? Hey, you, how much did you do? Dechukwu, come. How much did you do? I'll just be calling people all over the place. Say, will you shut up with your $1 billion? I'll slap you now. Get out of my friend. People are doing $10 billion regularly. They come to give me testimony of $1 billion. The time will come. You hear what I said? The time will come. At that time, now listen to me. Those who God will use will have been prepared now. It is not now business, you know. Time for business. Oh boy, business they make come for Nigeria. You go jam.
Now, listen. Some things will have been in place. Let me give you an example. In the name of Jesus Christ, we will solve power problems in Nigeria.
Amen.
Those who will make money were those who endured with generators. I don't know whether you heard what I said. I don't know whether you got what I said there. Those who will make it then in business were those who were able to stand the time they had to use generators. Because they had learned how to trim, how to manage, how to cut off needless excess load. So that by the time you now give them power, all they need to do is pay some bills. The money they are saving on power generation alone is profit. But those who waited till there's power to start business, listen, there are things you just can't learn by praying and by reading books. No, there are things you can't learn. You have to learn them on the field. There are things you will not learn except you have been, you know, they don't grind you. You understand my point? You have been on the air. There are times that all the money you have, not just to buy diesel, the business did not go down. Then one day when power is just flowing anyhow, you're already used to it. You get my point? The money you were using to power your equipment earlier, suddenly that's profit. Please, I hope I'm connecting with you. I hope you're following the point I'm making. Young wife, young husband, now so a bit, you know, anytime once you open you want to read your mails, everything, you must only, every week you get one major celebrity that's divorcing somebody. The one I saw yesterday, I don't even bother reading the story. It not concern me. You understand? That is not news. It's not newsworthy. He said Tom Cruise is divorcing. Whether he married the person in the first place, you don't even know, Seth. I do. You know, they're always divorcing. And let me explain something to you again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Young man, young woman. The first few years, you two, you go get the temptation to divorce. Not that you are wicked, though. Your partner that's wicked. Amen? You are a very nice person. You are holy. Righteous. Is this woman thou givest me? Or this husband thou forces me to marry? Or thou givest me to? I don't know what you're following what I'm saying. But this is the issue. The time you will start enjoying it is when you have learned the lessons on how to endure. That is... You hear some things that some people are fighting over. You say, so that one are cause for quarrel. You see why frown face? What happened? It was my birthday. What happened? He traveled. He didn't buy anything. So no old men like us. You come and say, wife, they call your wife. Your birthday, 15 years ago, what happened? On my birthday, you were preaching. You didn't even see that I dressed up for my birthday. What is going to happen? Nothing, no. The by the time we tell you a few stories of worse things than husband forgetting your birthday, and you see we are still happy and joyful. I hope you have understood what I'm trying to explain. And we'll give you encouragement. What am I saying? Early days, you may have rough times. If you endure the rough times, when God is bringing victory later, you'll be there waiting to enjoy it. But Americans, no, they're not like them. Irreconcilable differences. What's the difference? He wants to drive a yellow car, I want to drive a black car. And the two cars are irreconcilable. You go look them and say, Jesus is my Lord. Now, never see wahala. All right, the Lord is good. Now, what have I said in all of that? Okay? And that's the point, the fact that, listen, the time you have is stirring inside you, all right? The time your gift will be, demanding to be expressed. Outside, all right, you may not have an environment that's ready to receive it. Do you get my point? Your manner of preaching, if you're a preacher, people may not be drawing all the crowd. Don't worry. Don't change what you are doing because somebody else is doing something else that are drawing the crowd. Because Moses had the gift. He had the calling. God wired his inward parts to deliver the people of Israel, but they were not ready for him. But the time is coming that they will be ready. Are you getting what I'm saying? The time is coming that God created you to exist in, that is to manifest in. That time is coming and it is vital you don't lose your individuality, your uniqueness, the thing that makes you you when that time will come. Because if by that time you have lost it, you have become what? Useless. That's one lesson we must learn from that matter of
and Moses. Now, you remember I was saying that there was those many days. In the course of those many days, the Bible says, events were beginning to happen. God spoke to Moses to go out and go into the wilderness, but he didn't say anything to him for the next few decades. In that period, one king died, another one was crowned in Egypt. In that period, many things happened. And oftentimes, what happens is that people get frustrated. Or the Lord has led me in this way, and you are very sure. And another thing I should quickly correct in the mind of Christians, all right, is that the fact that God led you into something doesn't mean that thing will feel nice. Did you hear what I said? The fact that God said, marry this woman, doesn't mean she's an angel. There are men that God will lead to go and marry a very wicked woman. Say amen if you want to say amen. Okay, let the lady say amen on your behalf. Hey, so everybody say, ah, pastor, what are you talking about? She loves God, she has just not been trained. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me say something to you. One of the things I learned in life, they were not the earliest messages I learned in life, but it's a very important message. It was not the message of faith. It's a message, or it's the truth that God actually loves other people apart from me. It sounds funny. You know, unconsciously, you thought that once that God has to give you the best. Do you understand my point? If God is giving you a wife, it must be the best girl in the world. She does not know how to insult her husband. Do you understand? She knows how to take care. She's very respectful. You know, in fact, she read Should I Say Yes before she was born. So since she was a child, so she learned how to honor a man. All right? Maybe you're a woman. This, if you learned faith the way I did that time, you're so sure that the best husband in the world is yours. This is a man that before you hurt yourself, he has put his foot down there and collected the heat for you. You understand? He has money, plenty of it. He never makes a mistake in judgment. If he says, honey, don't go that direction. Before you know what's happening, you just see that fire is burning there. And he knew ahead of time. Oh God, the man knows God. When he wants to preach, he knows how to preach, even though he's not a preacher. When he wants to sing, he knows how to sing, even though he's not a musician. Oh, the guy is just perfect. In fact, as they walk out with him for a road there, all the other women would just envy you like this. Oh, girl, you try. And he said, claim me by faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you draw him by faith on the wall. Amen. Unconsciously, you know what he has said? The other people, God doesn't love them. It's only you God loves. I know what I'm saying. I learned, not too late, but one of the later lessons I learned, that if there's a very beautiful car here and an ugly one here, and two of us are believing God for it, God is likely to give the other person first before he gives me. I learned that one. No, do you hear what I said? It's in the scriptures. The Bible says, prefer one another in love. I suddenly realized that I'm not the only one God wants to bless. I'm not. If there are 10 cars in the market and we are 10 brothers, God will give me the ugliest one because I'm the toughest guy. I learned that one. That is the one that breaks down every 5 minutes is my portion. Because my brother, who is not as tough as me, has to get the one that can't break down. I learned not to whine. If only you were around. That deal. Oh, Pakabada Shagaya. By now, you'll have been a billionaire. You know what I learned? Where's the deal? It has gone. God has to make many billionaires. I can't wait for my turn. The other guy, go and collect it. I learned that I'm not the only one God wants to bless. Are you getting my point? If you get all the jobs in the world, then all of us must come to you to beg. Is that not so? Listen, you don't have the capacity to take care of all of us. So let it go round. Let it go round. What did I say? Let it go round. Rejoice when somebody else is blessed. Now, that's just another message. But this is what I'm making. Therefore, the sister that has a, how do I describe it? A character problem. But who God still loves? Who's the husband that God will give her?
The toughest bubble. You know? One brother, I saw him yesterday. Slept over in our house 2 days ago, sorry. When he was leaving in the morning, you know, that on Tuesday actually, he left on Wednesday morning. I told him, I said, you know, I still use you to preach. He said, what, sir? I said, you're the one that heard that I was going to marry Sister Ofoma, you felt sorry for me. He told me years later, I said, oh, God, when I heard you were engaged to Sister Ofoma, I said, hi, Pastor Banky. Now, wow, the grace of God, shall. He said, God, you know why? He said, I've seen this, your wife, handle men before. And when she handles brothers like this for fellowship, you're going to say, oh, my, well, I did. He said, and you know, for him, I was a nice and gentle guy. You don't know the true character, you know. When a guy wears suit, many things are covered. And you know, actually, the day he told me the thing was that we went for our convention, and my wife wanted to carry something from the car into the hotel room. And someone wanted to get something from her. So she walked up to me first and asked. So he noticed that she was asking permission to go and move the things. And I, after some time, I said, listen, baby, I can't carry stuff. I said, don't worry now, Sunday will carry it. I said, okay. So now she taps somebody and say, hi. See respect. You understand my point? See respect. Now I come tell him later, I say, oh God, I didn't know this could happen. No. That I actually thought that you don't buy job. Now I'm going somewhere. Look, is it, my wife is a very, look, I mean, if God gives me 25,782 opportunities, I will marry my wife again. And then if he gives me another 1 million opportunities on top of that, I will do it again. All right? What am I trying to say? Bro, with the watch from outside, he said, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit is not with this girl. So you know what God did? My wife, not necessarily to take you preach, so that all these men and young women can be blessed. Amen? I said this half jokingly, because I actually believe it. I told my wife, do you know what? If you didn't marry me, you would not have lived longer. And I wasn't, not really a joke. I said, I don't look the way you did behave. Most of all, don't just jam you one day, Bwah. Because you don't always look before you cross. I'm paraphrasing it now. I said, listen, I have noticed that it's not only me that God loves. So he said, Banky, I am going to give you a woman that you have to teach the word of God. I didn't know this, so I was just falling in love. Then I got up from love, looked with my eyes, I still love the love. So, and now I'm married. The Lord is good. Yes, listen, I like one thing Miles Monroe said long ago. Hey, I've left my Moses message now. I'm teaching on marriage. The Lord is good. I know you're all very happy. I know you are very happy now. I've been writing many books. Should I say yes? When people want to buy it now, 50 they go buy it. They go, God, 50, should I say yes like this? I wrote Great Faith Can Be Yours. They go buy one copy, put them for pocket. Waka Komot. How to Work for God. They go manage buy two. Waka Komot. Hey, should I say yes? I just carry a book like this. Say, where they go? I go wedding. So I know you're enjoying it. The Lord is good. Uh-huh. Now, this is what I'm making. So Miles Monroe said that there was nothing that God gave Adam that was perfect. You may have thought everything was in order. He said, but no. God said, guard it and what? Keep it. He was meant to cultivate and till the land. So Miles Monroe was saying in that book, motivating men to take their place in life, in that message, a video message I listened to many years ago, that when you, and I wrote something like that in that book, that what a woman becomes, now this is my own words, now these are my own words, what a woman becomes is a product of either what the man did or refused to do. Are you getting my point? Yes. Either what he did or what he refused to do, but whatever it is, it's his responsibility. It is his duty. It is assignment. So Miles Monroe said then, he said, every woman, turn to your husband and say, cultivate me, baby. You understand that? It is your duty to cultivate. It's your duty to cultivate. Without knowing this, what I did was I had my principles, all right, talking about me now as a person. And it was just the word of God we just used. I remember the first, even before we married, my wife was tired of hearing the gospel. I'm talking about Miles Monroe now. He said, cultivate her. Cultivate her. So I will take the word of God and be sharing. And there's one thing I want to teach every man. That's a matter of, look, don't negotiate with your wife ever. Ever is a stupid thing to do. Your wife is not Boko Haram. It's not Al-Qaeda. What kind of negotiation is that? If something is good for her, do it. If it is wrong, refuse. You can't force her to do it. I used to tell my wife something. I said, listen, if you say let us go to the right, and I say let's go to the left, it is your duty to persuade me that right is better. I say if at the end of the day, I still insist that left is where we are going, and you insist on going to the right, I will leave you alone to go to the right, but I will go to the left. I said, do you know the reason? I said, the reason is simple. If God were to show up in judgment, and I was wrong, then I was just wrong. Do you follow my point? I said, but if God were to show up in judgment, and I was right, but I followed you to the right, God will say, like he said to Adam, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. That was his judgment. Go and check it. That I gave you an anointing to lend direction and be the leader. You decided in the interest of peace. I don't like noise in this house. I told my wife, if you want to make noise, make it. This guy is not afraid of noise. If I know it is right, I stick by it. If it hurts you, too bad. I will buy mentholatum and rub the place afterwards. Ask her. She never thought I was a nice guy. My wife didn't marry me because I was nice. She married me because I knew the Bible. That was the only reason. She will tell you tomorrow. I didn't agree to marry him. I just heard me say yes. That was a miracle. That she was wondering. She did not know when she had agreed. That she did not agree finish before. She said, oh boy, what happened? You want to marry this guy? You're in trouble. You're in trouble. This guy that's as dried as, you know, leather from Kano. You know that kind of thing. But she just said, but the guy in the Bible, shall let's go and learn some things from him. So I said then, when I say negotiate now, I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's not, okay, if you follow me here, I will follow you there. If where you say we should go is good, we will go there. If it is bad, I'm not going. You want to cry, I'll buy you a bucket. Do you understand my point? Cry inside it. I'm telling you the truth. All this interest of peace is why you lose authority in your house. Peace is good if you know how to make it. You know, I digress into that, trying to say that if you think God is going to give you a perfect woman because you are a very prayerful man, you are mistaken. He won't give you a woman that does not love God. That's something. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that Jacob loved God, but was a troublesome guy. You know that. He was crafty. He was shifty. If it was a woman, if Jacob was a woman, God would have given him one husband, given her one husband that would teach the all that one going to the house of Laban. Now the house of husband she forgo. Now go to the house of Laban. They change your wages 10 times. Your stubborn soul. Now the house of husband you will go. If you love God. Your husband will tell the side, say, okay, I don't like this skirt, it's too short. Hey, that's why I like it. This thing must be long. He said, no, I'm gonna wear it like this. The guy go take scissors, cut one pair of one what is it pair of skirts now? It's okay, it's our trouser that's in pairs. Some of the lessons in life your father couldn't teach you, you will soon marry a husband that will teach them to you. This message won't fly in America, but it's the word of God. I'm telling you the truth. Some of them, you were stubborn in the house. Your papa not be tough, you go talk to. And your mother taught you that one. Two of you ganged up against your father. Don't worry. This one that you have given your life to Christ, your problems have begun. If you are an unbeliever, you understand? No wahala. You can join a political party and be causing problems there. But this one that you have gone to church and said, Jesus, only you I will serve. Jesus said, fine. There's one troublemaking husband he prepared long ago. But the guy is very quiet. That's the interesting part. He comes to church. Praise the Lord. He doesn't join ushers. What is the problem with being an usher? He doesn't join ushers. He comes to church. When they say, who are those who will handle camera? He doesn't like any camera handling. He just sit down, JJ, marry him first. Because of your tough nature, you thought that, yes. Don't be angry. It's God that loves you. The job your father did not do because he did not know Christ well. He has now hired the guy to do it for you. The first 1 year, trouble in your household. But you are not used to anybody telling you what to do. Only you wake up in the morning, you're addressing your husband and say, where are you going? He said, today's Angela's maybe shower or bridal shower or baby shower, whatever. So you're not going. You look like what? You quickly think about your life. The last 6 years, the last 16 years, nobody has been able to tell you when to go out and when not to go out. And the guy says, you are not going, and goes back into the room like say nothing happened. Something inside your soul say, oh boy, okay, you disobey that. Wala day. But because you love God, that's what I'm talking about. Because you love God, of course, you will go to church, the word of God will be correcting you, and your husband will be making sure you hear the correction. After 2 years, when they see you, they won't believe it. This woman is the meekest of all women on the surface of the earth. What happened? She married a troublemaker. That is, you know, see, guy is cool for face, eh? God don't package some stubborn and hard spirit into some people. That's why they don't talk. It's like those who are very good in karate, they are not quick to fight. They go just like this. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Corner the guy first for night. When he break your back, you go not far. What am I going to say? It's the love of God. If you are an unbeliever, you know God would have done that to you. He would have left you. You would have gone wild, you know. You would have had 6 children for 8 husbands. You don't know. Because you marry one like this, after 6 months, you realize I can't stay here. What do you think? What is going to happen to all those people you watch on TV, all those divorced? Control is not part of their lives. They don't understand it. They don't understand it. But don't forget what I said. It's because of what? The love of God. As it works for men, it works for women. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So, guys, you have prayed. Doesn't mean you marry a perfect woman. I don't know what brought me to this today, but you have to hear it. You have prayed. Doesn't mean anything like that. Because of your prayer, because like I said to you, God loves not only you. He loves somebody else. So you are you are an instrument. That's the word I want to use. You are an instrument in the hands of God to use to express his love to somebody else. Like, you know, you heard me say it before. Some people said, I like that girl, but I'm not feeling married. I'm waiting for her. She has too many responsibilities. If you ever hear a man say that, just know he's an irresponsible man. He will never do well in life. Listen, why God says you marry her is because he knows you have strength, you have power. You understand my point? You are anointed. He will give you the means and the resources. He loves that girl as much as he loves you. What's wrong with your head? Okay, how will she? You have said it with your own mouth now. Some people's mouths will stand in judgment against them if they are not careful. You have said it now. That responsibilities are too plenty for one person. What should a good Christian do? Help carry. I'm looking for who doesn't have responsibility. It's good now. After all, you're an irresponsible man. Same thing with women too. Looking for a husband that can take care of me. I'm a project, an assignment. God will use you as an instrument to reform somebody's life also. Are you getting my point? Yes. So a woman is too emotional and needs a man who is strong. You understand what I'm saying? You know, we have to compliment one another. So listen, the fact that you are going through tough times in life, trying times, it does not at all mean that God did not hear that prayer. When God spoke to Jesus, he found himself in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. When God spoke to Moses, he found himself in the wilderness for the next 40 years, wondering what he's doing here. Now, I've gotten back to my message now. When God is silent, God spoke to him once, and that's it. He didn't hear anything again. 1 year, God will soon talk. 5 years, will they wait? 10 years, I said, God, don't forget. You know, there are these times, he said, pray, you will pray, you will pray until you begin to connect with heaven. And then when you get into heaven, let me tell you the other side of the story. 9 times out of 10, you will pray, you will fall asleep. You hear what I said? When you wake up, you continue praying. After a while, you talk to yourself the truth. Say, we're going to read the Bible. As a quicker way to connect with heaven. He said, no, it's because we're not speaking in tongues. Should I tell another side of the story? You will speak in tongues until you find that you are speaking your native language. That is, the tongues of angels will finish. I think that because of that, God will talk. The Lord said, I'm not planning to say anything. The time I spoke to Moses, he was tending sheep and he was looking around and something caught his attention. When I talked to Jeremiah, he rejected the talk at the beginning himself. He said, God, are you sure you got the address right? Can't you see how young I am? All this on practice, and you pray long enough, God will speak to you. It's a lie. Oh. Let me say it to you straight. What did I say? A fat lie. Some of you have prayed, you have heard. You know, God has mercy on you. After a while, you say, I am the Lord, I love you. As if you did not know that before you came to pray. You wanted to hear voices now. And the Lord said, I love you, get up from here, I'm going to read your book. I mean, you've heard something. You know, I'm trying to explain that. You can't force God to say anything. What did I say? You can't force God to say anything. And say, when you exercise your spirit, you become keen. Listen, when you become very keen, you'll be hearing, you know, there's so much traffic in the realm of the spirit. You go hear, boom, as an angel is chasing one demon away. You go begin to hear things. Just relax. You don't need very keen voice. You have to be keen. I've seen brethren getting confused. Anything they want to do, they pray until God says something to them. If I have a friend, say, I don't give until God talks to me. You say, you know when a stingy man is talking? I don't give until God talks to me. May God talk to them every day. You want to know how God talks? Somebody in need. God says, please, I'm hungry. So I won't give you until God speaks to me. And God saying that, look, I've been talking to this guy and he's not even talking. He's not, because I come as a list of my brethren. And also, people are getting very keen in the realm of the spirit. So listen, you can't force God to talk. Moses waited and waited and waited. After a long day, he got tired. So you may be in a situation like that now. God didn't forget you. That's what I'm trying to explain. It just means that it's a time for quietness. That is God's quietness now. But what do you do at such times? That's what I want to explain to you. In fact, I mean, I saw just take some of my messages, like how to wait for God. All right? How to wait on God. I've preached that here and there. That's just what you do at such times. Get those, in fact, very good. I'll just summarize. I will not bother to say anything in detail. I'll just refer you to those messages. How to wait for God, all right? I have at least three different messages on that title, all right? If I want is how to wait for God, one. Then the one is the soul that waits, being how to wait for God, two, okay? Now, notice something here. How was Moses waiting? First, he agreed to stay with Jethro. And the Bible says that in verse 21, he was willing to dwell with the man. And he gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses. Then he gave birth to a son and he named him Gershom. For he said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. Then many days passed, like we said. And in verse 1 of chapter 3, Moses was pastoring the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. That's what I want to bring out. You will notice, when God spoke to him, let me just put everything together so I can end it here. When God spoke to him, and God didn't say anything again. You know the next thing he did? He married a wife. When God didn't say anything again, what's the next thing he did? The wife gave belly. When God didn't talk again, he had a child. When God didn't talk again, he began to pasture flock. When God didn't talk again, he kept on doing business. You know what he did? He was occupying until the Lord will come. Sitting at home saying, I'm waiting for God is not Christianity. It's a joke. God did not have to speak to Moses to marry that girl. I pray you understand what I'm saying. It was just a sensible thing to do. God didn't have to speak to him that thou shalt have a son. If you marry a wife, the chances are that she will soon bear a child. You get what I'm saying? Yes, God didn't have to speak to him that thou shalt attend your father-in-law. That's family business. A lot of people are waiting. Say, Ashaka, Allah, ego, God, what am I going to do? Say, what are you doing? I'm waiting on God.
1 week praying and fasting. I've told you, speak in tongues from now till tomorrow. It doesn't guarantee any talk. Let me tell you the truth. You see, because I know Pentecostals, they have preached it one particular way. I'll give you the other side of it. It may not be popular among the Pentecostals. It's a matter of fact. All right? When God was going to speak to Moses, Moses was not expecting it. Listen, unless you're a prophet, let me explain what I'm saying. You must understand this. Sometimes people read some people who are actually prophets. Like now, let me just say it straight. You read somebody like Kenneth Hagin. That man was a prophet. You may hear prophets say something like when they stir themselves up. Do you understand? All right? Then they begin to hear God. It's because they are prophets. It's like anytime I stir myself up, I can preach for 100 hours nonstop. I'm not kidding. If I pick notes, books, that is, I have jottings. When I wasn't going around teaching, I used to just write my sermons down. You know, just ideas just come to me. If I pick those things down, I have a few books in the house like that. If I sit down like this for 10 minutes and I read through them, I can preach for the next 5 hours. I'm not, no exaggeration in that. I picked the book of Malachi yesterday morning. And I was just telling my wife, see you. This is Malachi I have read, do you know how many times? What am I saying? Because it's my ministry. Once I stir myself up, if I feel like messages don't dry from my mouth, all I need is 1 day rest. A day's rest, that's all I need. And I don't mean, you know, some people go and say, hey, Kababa, God, give me a message. I don't need that. Just me, I don't. What do I need? Just toss me any book you find there. Whether I can Hagin, you know, watch my Neo, my house, anything, just toss it to me. Or a Bible. Let me cross my leg. 15 minutes later, I'm ready. When a prophet does the same thing, I have friends that if you mistakenly join hands with them to pray, they will see a vision for you. And they are not white garment church pastors. Just let's join our hands. Oh, you are traveling now. Okay, let's begin to pray. Let's just join our hands. And you pray 15 minutes at the end of the day as we were praying. As we were praying, I began to hear and I began to see. And I saw this. I'm serious. I'm very, very serious. So Christians say, man, that brother is spiritual. So you too, if you pray long enough, you go begin to see something. You won't see anything. If you see anything, it's going to be confusion. If God doesn't say anything, what do? You do what is reasonable. Your name is Moses. You're an old man now. You have nowhere else you are going. You're going to stay in a house that has 7 daughters. Don't cause problem. Marry one at the beginning. 7 daughters. You're going to cause problems in that household, man. So the father understood. He said, oh boy, I don't want to holler here. Don't want to hear stories. He asked me first, I don't want to hear that story. Sit down now. Let's agree. You're marrying that one? Yes, sir. Okay. Gave him Zipporah. Wahala, stop. And say, oh no, God has not spoken to me to marry any of these 7 girls. Then pack out of the house. How can there be 7 girls in one house? God didn't speak to you to marry one of them. What's wrong with your head? And you want to be living there? Hey, single guy. He wants to live in the house. There are 7 girls. We jet through. Oh boy. Now so wahala they start to. Let's see, you go see sisters fighting. They've never fought all their lives. What's the cause of the fight? Moses. If you don't want to marry any of the girls, go somewhere else. Go back to Egypt. If you are staying here, you pick one. Wake up in the morning, which free food? What do you think your father-in-law is doing? The girls will go and they go, are you a lion and they are lionesses? They'll go for hunting, you go sit down for house. The reasonable thing is get up and follow them. When God didn't say anything, when some people wake up in the morning, God has not spoken to me to tend sheep. You will soon go back to Egypt. That is before the time. Then Pharaoh will catch you that time and behead you. When God hasn't said anything, let me end my message. Maybe if I have to, I'll develop it again next time. But this is the point. If he has not said anything, you can't force him to say anything. Say, Pastor Mike, what? Don't we need to pray so that we can hear? I don't know, maybe. But I think you just pray habitually. You know what I say? What should you do? Pray habitually. Take a Bible and read it habitually. Take books and study them habitually. All right? After that, you do the things that are reasonable. If God doesn't speak, you know what it means? You know what it means? It means he does not have to speak. Let me say it again. If he does not lead you by a supernatural method, you know what it means? You don't need it. I'm going to say something. It's going to make some people feel funny. Listen. In fact, let me talk to you. Pastor Chris. If you like a woman, she loves the Lord. Amen? Olayinka thinks she's nice. You ask Israel, Israel says it's okay. You understand my point? And everybody says that it's all right. And you pray, pray, God doesn't say anything. You know what it means? Just marry her. There's no need. You know what God is saying to you? What do you want me to say again? Do you like her? Yes. Your friends like her? Yes. She loves the Lord? Yes. You've been to their house a few times. They throw hot water after you? No. And you're praying, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Is she your will? God said, man, I'm not saying nothing. After 1 year, see, I'm counting. One guy will soon come now. I'll spoil this whole deal. Brethren, sometimes they pray too much. I pray you will understand what I'm saying. There are times when God doesn't say anything, anything. Eh? You know what it means? It means I don't have to say anything. It's different from when he says, thou shalt not marry. That one, they put in the house of Jethro with 7 girls. Tell Jethro, I can't live here. I'll work for you, but I'll stay on the other side of town. Jethro said, why? Because thus says the Lord, Moses, thou shalt not marry. Do you understand my point? I pray you catch what I'm saying. Your life will be much easier. I mean, you can imagine somebody looking for work. You don't have work you are doing. You don't have. Door opens. Good door. You pray, Father, Elka, Abba, Ashra, is this your door? The Lord doesn't say anything. The Lord says, do they steal there? No. Is it a wicked place to work? No. Do they pay money there? Yes. Will you be able to help people there? Yes. If you apply now, they are going to employ you. Yes. They are asking me whether it is my will. And hunger blasts you twice. You say, God, while I'm waiting for your will, let me just start this job. Meanwhile, no, say, all right, all right. Was that not the point I was trying to make to you? No, Christian Pentecostals, they love whisperations too much. Whisperations. My son, that shall wake up this morning and go to work. My son, when you wake up, first thing you do is brush your mouth. And it comes, and still very spiritual. And I woke up this morning, the Lord began to say, of the different colors of toothpaste in this house, thou shalt use the blue one. Amen. Praise God. And I brushed my mouth. And as I began to walk, God said, you shall wear a tie that shall make you look nice. You know the problem? He's feeling spiritual. At the end of the day, those of us that God did not speak to, we brushed, we wore a nice shirt, and our tie is even finer than his own. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Hey, I hope you got me today. I hope you got me today. Listen, when God didn't speak to Moses, what that meant was that the situation I've placed you in right now, be occupied with it until I come. And don't forget this. It is not the intensity of your prayer to force God to come that will make him come. If anything, the only role you have to play is being faithful in that which he placed in your hand. When the bush will start burning, listen to me. Like I told you, I know a lot of Pentecostals, I sound too unserious for them. All right? But this is the truth. When the bush will start burning, you wouldn't need to be spiritual to notice. You hear what I said? When the bush will start burning, you won't need to be spiritual. You get what I mean? It's curiosity that took Moses there. And God did not speak to a man with a trained spirit. He talked loud so that Moses heard. The one that you have to check, is it the voice of God or the voice of an angel or the voice of the Holy Spirit or is it a satanic voice or is it a temptation? God never talk yet. You have to fine-tune your spiritual character. Are you getting my point? There is no training for the voice, for the spiritual ear to know which one is God, which one is not. In that sense, the only training that you need is the development of your spiritual character. The Bible says you will, by experience, know how to discern between that which is good or evil. As you are developing, you know, oh boy, they don't do like that. No, I told my wife these days, because of my experience over the last, well, maybe a year or two, I'm more open now to counsel people. I still do that, but of course, I don't counsel strangers. It's still against my religion. You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But I just realized that things I thought were common, that everybody should know, many people don't know them. Not because they are stupid, not because they are wicked, not because they are slow, but because they are not as experienced as I am. And the mouth of a priest should keep knowledge. People should be able to get direction, all right, from his mouth. So I told my wife, these days, I did very open. He tell me, I'm not saying you come and queue up now, no, let me rest again. I'm just trying to say, I'm more open now than I used to be because I realize the amount of help I can be to people who just ask me questions. What I use, I want to emphasize, it's not because I trained my ears to hear a voice, but because I trained my heart to understand the ways of God. And experience in life helped me to be able to discern between that which is good and what evil. Why did I say that? Don't wait tuning your ears on when God will speak. The day the bush will burn around you, you will know.